Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Welcome back to The Scorecard with Barry Cronin and Mike Esposito, presented by Chicago District Golfer Magazine on Chicago's Sports Radio 670 The Score and Odyssey Station.
Hour two of The Scorecard, presented by Chicago District Golfer Magazine with Barry Cronin and Mike Esposito. And a little early Wilco as we feature the music of the state of Illinois. They're downstate. Barry, you're out there in the Quad Cities. I'm here in Chicago. We've got the entire state covered here geographically, and we're ready to get back out to the John Deere Classic. And actually, we're ready to get out to the Circa Resort and Casino Hotline. Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book. And there we find Craig DeVries, author of the book, most recent book about, or the newest book, excuse me, about the John Deere Classic called Magic Happened, about the magic of what's going on there in the Quad Cities. Craig, good morning.
Morning, Mike. Morning, Barry. Hopefully we get a little more magic and the rain stays away this weekend.
Yeah, we're right? Hoping. We're hoping for, if you got that right. Wow, it's a tough forecast. So, Craig, great to have you on and great to talk to you. Your book is terrific. Magic Happened, celebrating 50 years of the John Deere Classic. It was supposed to come out last year, but the pandemic prevented the tournament from even happening. So it's really, I know you're real excited to have it out this year, finally.
Yeah, 100%. Good to have it in people's hands and have the story be shared, at the 50th anniversary event, 51 years later.
Right, exactly. Hmm. Well, Craig,
magic. I would point out more magic happened even despite the pandemic last year when Birdies for Charity contributed $12.2 billion to another
charity.
Strong group of charities in the Quad Cities.
Yeah, even without a tournament. Yeah, it's pretty good. Craig, you're from around the Quad Cities, and you've been around this tournament longer than anybody. You covered the tournament for the Moline Dispatch and the Quad City Times. And, you've seen so much, and I thought it was really a cool thing when you, talked about this project at the beginning, that you went out and you interviewed 150 people, and that usually, a lot of times, that doesn't happen in with people writing books, et cetera, but you were able to get people who were here at the very beginning, before they left us.
Yeah, actually, there's five voices in the book that have passed since I interviewed them. Jim Jamison, a volunteer, Carol C.J. Johnson. Jim Jamison obviously was a Western Open winner from Moline bred and Quad City born. And Wally Priester, I found out this week, died. He was one of the founding members of Crow Valley. So, and Jim Hazley, who was a wonderful representative of the Iowa PGA and the PGA professionals across Iowa and Illinois, who was an essential piece of the storytelling because he was there when Crow Valley was conceived and the Quad Cities Open debuted in 1971.
Yeah. This tournament, but before John Deere took over in 1998, Craig, and really stabilized the tournament, this tournament went through a number of near-death experiences.
Five really, really taut moments when it could have gone, could have gone the other way, and that's there's some of the magic therein in that it it always they always found a way to keep this thing going. 1975, you know, after four tournaments at Crow Valley, it was determined that the purse had to grow. It was always about money. The purse had to grow, and they were working feverishly to make that happen by appealing to the community. And a press conference was called, and a press release was issued that said there will be no 1975 Quad Cities Open. But this was in April, actually, of 1975, with the tournament, you know, less than 2 months away, and they pulled it off. The Moline JC stepped in, and they pulled the press release literally out of the hands of the media that had assembled at a news conference, and away they went. They found they found Oakwood Country Club, and Moline JC's across the Quad Cities found a way to put this thing on in just no time to spare. So, and then again a couple of really key moments in the 1980s where they had to appeal to the community for through phone banks to.
So they actually asked people on the phone. They called around and asked people on the phone to give money.
For a month, a solid month, they had volunteers manning phone banks in insurance agency offices and downstairs studio at WQAD. They were calling people and saying, "Can you give us this? Can you help us with that?" And they pulled it off. They retired $95,000 worth of debt, there was more. You know, the creditors in the Quad Cities took dimes on the dollar to literally keep this thing going. And then the next year, it was the same thing. They were always searching for this magic title sponsor, and it didn't happen until. A meeting at John Deere administrative headquarters with Duke Butler and Claire Peterson, the current tournament director, was present. And Duke Butler from the PGA Tour stepped up and said, "We can build a TPC golf course, and John Deere can become the official equipment supplier of the PGA Tour." And all of a sudden, there was that was the birth of the John Deere Classic. And here we are talking with. 23 years later, John Deere is the third longest running title sponsor on the PGA Tour.
Talking with Craig DeVries, author of Magic Happened, the celebrating 50 years of the John Deere Classic. And, you know, we've talked about Birdies for Charity. We talked about it with Claire last week. But it really is an impressive program. And I know since John Deere has taken over as the title sponsor and really driven, you know, a lot of the charity programs. I mean, the dollar amounts are staggering. And I know we talked about this last year. We talked about, you just mentioned it too, even last year with no tournament, a ton of money raised for local charities.
Yeah, it's you know, and it's a credit, obviously, to John Deere and the imagination of Steve Jacobs, who was the original Big Bird, who took this concept of people pledging money for however many birdies were made in the course of a tournament week. And he kind of built off the Mary Kay concept, where he recruited the local charities who would definitely be invested in making as much money as they could for their organizations to solicit pledges. And then the tournament and John Deere have put 5 to 10% on top of those bonuses over the course of all those years, and it's really turned into a Quad City driven a display of generosity that you're right, the figures are staggering. $133 million over the course of the last 30 years. It's amazing.
Well, in addition to the magic of the charity and everything, Craig, there's been some great golf tournaments that we've seen, especially in the last several years. And I think that probably a lot of it has to do with the charter to the British Open, getting a little bit better field out here, getting some sponsor exemptions that Claire Peterson would go out and find some young guys to come out and play the tournament. But you,
you know, you had Jordan Spieth in a 2013 win, and then he came back to win again in 2015. That kind of has ignited the tournament, as well as Steve Stricker winning three in a row. So I reflect on that a little bit.
Yeah, you know, the there's always going to be a lesser field than in an event played the week before the British Open than you'll find elsewhere. You know, the cream rises here, I guess, is the way to put it. The right guys tend to win. You know, Jordan Spieth in 2013 holed from a bunker at the age of 19, become the first teenage winner in 83 years. Zach Johnson had a funny quote about that because Zach lost in the playoff to him. You know, Zach Johnson is Zach said that ball was going in the water in his interview on Wednesday. Very tongue only a little bit in cheek. But, you know, it was just a miracle shot. And then Zach was the author of a miracle shot the year before from the what we call the champion's bunker when he hit a five iron 190 some yards to within a foot to win a playoff against Troy Madison. Stricker came here in 2009 on the rebound. He was already bound to be comeback player of the year, but he won here, and then he came back and in 2010 shot a 60 in the first round and trailed by a shot, Paul Goidos, but then went on to he was set a record for 24 under through three rounds that year and won the second title, and then he came back and from that same champion's bunker that we mentioned. Zach Johnson, he just shot with 1 foot in the bunker, 1 foot out, and hooked it around the water and the tree at the very fine finishing 18th hole and hold a 24-foot putt that kind of turned him into the Incredible Hulk for a few minutes. With the he's the cover of the book with his very Stricker-like celebration. So yeah, the cream rises here. It's. In a way, it's a credit to the way the golf course is drawn up by three-time Oakwood winner, D.A. Wibring. So, yeah, we've had some great runs. B.J. Singh had won a tournament here. Payne Stewart had his first win in 1982 at Oakwood. You know, we've had Roger Maltby win here. And, you know, behind Spieth comes Ryan Moore, who would book a berth in the Olympics, or excuse me, on the Ryder Cup team that way. And then he'd make the putt at Hazeltine and clinch the cup. And Bryson DeChambeau behind him. So it's we have a reputation as a launching pad over here in the Quad Cities. And we've launched a few careers.
Yep. Well, yeah, go ahead, Mike. I'm sorry.
No, I was just going to say, and the other cool thing, at least for me, and we've touched on it in terms of the local support and the, you know, what how the Quad Cities region gets behind this tournament is really the ownership of it. I mean, you see that in certain things in life, but in golf and certainly in this tournament, to me, it's awesome the way the area gets behind and participates in this event.
Yeah, you know, every tour event, up to and including the BMW, relies heavily on volunteer support. And Dean Beeman, who was the first winner of the first two events, kind of built his model. You know, charity will be the leading money winner on the PGA Tour way back in the day, based on rewarding that volunteer labor, kind of encouraging that volunteer labor to keep coming back out to support tournaments. I had the opportunity to talk to Dean about his wins and about the way he built a tour basically too big for small towns like the Quad Cities, which were back in the day were kind of prevalent on tour. And that's part of the magic too, is that it some really desperate moments, Dean kind of was there to give the tournament a bit of a boost, to help it stay on the calendar. You know, Mike, the support of Quad Cities is immense. We were 7 of the last 11 years. This tournament was named the most engaged community on tour, and I think that speaks volumes. Yeah. In a way, you know, it's 1 week a year, but this is our Packers. This is our spot in the major leagues. And, you know, we know who we are over here. We're not Chicago. We're not the big city, but it's nice to have a major league event in our midst. And so to see, Barry, I think you started to refer to the Tiger Woods year. He came here and he took his first 54 hole lead into a Sunday in the Quad Cities in 1996, and then famously Ed Fiore ran him down.
yeah. Much to the chagrin of everybody in the Quad Cities, but that's okay.
Absolutely, everybody but Ed Fiore and I think Craig Cooper, my cohort at the Quad City Times at the time. You know, Tom Watson, Beeman nipped Tom Watson by a shot in the second Quad City Open at Crow Valley. There have been some pretty storied runners up as well as storied winners. Curtis Strange was beaten by Scott Hoke, his fellow Wake Forest Deacon Demon in 1980. So we've seen 15 of the 24 men who've been who've held the rank of number one in the world since the OWGR was created. We've had 24 Hall of Famers play through the Quad Cities at numerous times since the tournament was established. So we're not the Western Open. We're not the Masters. We're nothing. We're not the Open Championship. We're not, you know, some years we're not the Rocket Mortgage. But we know who we are and we know what we've got, and we've clung to it tenaciously, and that's the magic.
Well, and what's great about it, Craig, is you can actually come out as a fan and have a leisurely walk around the golf course and see some really great players, and some of them before you know they're great, but you can see people up close. It's because it's not so crowded. I mean, that's the one thing that I am always amazed with about coming out here and then working other big events in Chicago, is that here you can actually see the guys and bring your kids and have them have a reasonable good time without 30,000 people running around the golf course every day and hanging with the top players. The kids can see them and people can see these guys up close, and that to me is one of the appealing things about seeing a tournament in a small town that's probably just a couple of hours west of Naperville. So
The players let their hair down a little bit here too. I mean, they're a little more relaxed because it's a different atmosphere. They don't feel like they're they're in the fishbowl. They interact and it will always be, although John Deere has put the put their corporate brand on it and it's very polished in the sense that it is a corporate event, a sponsored event, but it matches all the expectations of John Deere and frankly the PGA Tour in terms of being polished and professional, but there's always going to be that homespun Quad City nest to the John Deere Classic, and players appreciate that as much as the fans do. And we've had tremendous support from Chicago through the years, and there's no question that we get a lot of fans down here who really enjoy it for what it is. They come down and they play Deer Run a lot too. We are Illinois' only annual PGA Tour event, by the way, Mike. You know that, right?
I did know that, yeah, and you know what I was going to say? I know Chicago, even though a few hours to your east, we enjoy the and take pride in the success of the John Deere Classic, and the book is great, and Barry mentioned that it was, you know, delayed by the pandemic, but finally out. Craig DeVries' book, Magic Happened, Celebrating 50 Years of the John Deere Classic. You can get that now at johndeereclassic.com. All proceeds, it should be mentioned too, benefit Birdies for Charity. So lots of great stuff there. And Craig, we appreciate your time this morning.
Guys, it's a pleasure to talk to you.
Thanks, Craig.
Thank you very much.
Barry, Craig, I will see you soon.
Yes, see you later today, man.
Okay.
Craig DeVries, author of Magic Happened, and he'll be hanging with Barry later on today at the John Deere Classic. So We'll look forward to that. I will be stuck watching on TV, Barry, but I will make you here in the Chicagoland area. But good talking to Craig. It's a very fascinating history, and I for one am glad that, you know, the small town feel still remains. You have the, you know, the big title sponsor, but I think it's awesome how the Quad Cities takes ownership of this tournament.
Yep, it sure does. And a lot of somebody pointed out yesterday that there's a lot of cities that don't have, bigger cities that don't have a PGA Tour event.
Sure.
Portland, Denver, Boston, you know, there's quite a few. So
right.
Anyway, this is great, and it's fun, and we'll see what happens later today. Hopefully we'll get the get the round in and play a lot
yep.
of holes today.
Absolutely. No, and we will talk more about what's happened in the first 2 days of the John Deere Classic when we come back. We'll also talk, before we get out of here, to Andrew Catalan of CBS Sports. He is the lead anchor for CBS this week at the John Deere Classic. So lots more to come on the John Deere Classic here on the Scorecard. We are presented by Chicago District Golfer Magazine, and this is Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
And we are back here on the Scorecard, presented by Chicago District Golfer Magazine. Barry Cronin, Mike Esposito here with you. Glad to be with you every Saturday morning, talking golf for 2 hours from 6 to 8. We are out at the John Deere Classic this week. Actually, I shouldn't say we. I should say Barry is out. He is live there in the Quad Cities at the John Deere Classic. And hoping to get today in around the rain, and I know Luke List and company are certainly hoping to do that. List leading the pack at 13 under par after the first two rounds, a 63 for Mr. Luke List yesterday, Barry.
Yes, there's a lot of low scores out here because the the situation is that the fairways are very soft, and the guys are very good. They hit it a long way. So, yeah, Luke List hits the ball really well, and far. so he's leading for now. And Sebastian Munoz, who's from Colombia, he's low Colombian in the field this week. There's another Colombian, Camilo Villegas,
He's a former Western Open champion or BMW champion. I can't remember which one, but yeah, they're both doing well. So yeah, it'll be a scramble. The 4 under par was the cut. Only a few other times in the history of the tournament has that happened. So we'll see what happens. The good thing is that Steve Stricker made the cut. He's a little bit off the pace. You know, he's not. I can't remember exactly what he is, but and Zach
six
Johnson,
under, yep.
Six under. Yeah, I don't have the scores in front of me, unfortunately. And Zach Johnson made the cut, so he's those are the two icons of the tournament. So they're doing well, and we have 13 guys that are on the charter headed to the British Open. I think 7 of them made the cut. So. Anyway, that's good. Daniel Berger's in the field. He's a top-rated player in the field and doing well. And the main thing is our buddy Doug Gim from Arlington Heights is I think he's 12th in the right now. So he's doing
12th.
Well. Which is good to see. So we have a rooting interest here, really, Chicago fans.
We do. Doug is 9 under. He's tied for 12th, 66, 67 in his first two rounds, and he's tied with a bunch of guys. At 9 under par. List at 13, Munoz at 12 are your two leaders. Then you have a group tied at 11, two guys at 10, and then a bunch at 9, 8, 7, and on down the line. But you mentioned Stricker, and I said this right off the top of the show. He is the defending U.S. Senior Open champion, and yet when the schedule conflict came about for this weekend with that tournament and the John Deere Classic, because of his history here, and you know, as we have talked about, he's from here. He is a University of Illinois alum. This place, and I saw him quoted as saying this, that this place in this tournament was very special to him, and he felt like this was the right place for him to be. Pretty great stuff from Steve Stricker as you know, the defending champion of the other tournament to come out to the John Deere Classic.
Yeah, Steve Stricker, as everybody knows, anybody in golf knows, he's. He's known as like one of the nicest guys in the game, and I think that he's always said since he's been coming here that this is a kind of a tournament that that used to be you'd have a number of these type of smaller town events on the PGA Tour when he started, and even though this is a corporate event, as Craig said, it still has the hometown feel that a lot of the tournaments had, 20 or 30 years ago, early on when the PGA Tour started. Now there's a lot of tournaments that are very, very slick, very corporate, and very commercial. And this is certainly a corporate event. It's a John Deere event. It wouldn't exist if it wasn't.
Right.
But there is still that little bit more of a small town feel to it in that so many of the functions that at a major event are that are performed by paid contractors are actually done by volunteers here. The volunteer element, because the tournament had such a hard time surviving over the years, because as Craig just said, It almost died like 5 times. Mm-hmm. So without the so the volunteer ethics continues to go on at this event, and that's I think part of what it gives it the feel that the hometown feel that it has, and the type of feel that Stricker really likes.
Right. No, and it's great to have him back. And you mentioned the connection with the Open Championship next week and the charter flight going over. So, and Craig had mentioned, right? I mean, sometimes because guys are prepping for that, they may not come out to here. But having the charter flight and certainly having it as a kind of a warm up to the British Open. Is certainly something that a lot of guys use. So take us through. I know you said you are actually on site for our listeners who are just joining us. Barry is out there in Silvis at the John Deere Classic at Deer Run. Some weather expected today, but how are they going to try to cram this in today? Because they are going to try to get in this round today.
Right. They're going to start as of last night. They were going to start at 10 o'clock in the morning. Put threesomes off of both tees. Typically, they would put twosomes off of the first tee. Everybody would go off the first tee if they had time. But right. I think, but in order to get the and finish the round before the weather just, you know, they're going to have to start after the current weather goes away and get it in before the next wave of rain comes in. So and tomorrow's doesn't look great either for weather. So we'll see. It's going to be a juggling act, and hopefully. These quote-unquote scattered showers that they predict will not be scattered over this over the 200-acre golf course that they're playing right. this tournament. The charter has to leave at 8 o'clock tomorrow, in order to get to Royal St. George's in England for the British Open. So it'll be interesting to see what happens. It'll be a little complicated, but you know, I have to say the PGA Tour. Does an unbelievable job of predicting weather. I mean, if you think mm-hmm. your local forecaster is good, these PGA Tour guys right. are really good. And so, well, you know what? All you can do is cross your fingers and see what happens, Mike. You
right.
know?
Can't fight Mother Nature. You just try to work with her. And it sounds like that'll be an interesting way to try to do it. We'll be watching. I will, at least, on the TV. You'll be out there in person. And hopefully the weather cooperates today. When we come back, we will be joined by Andrew Catalan of CBS Sports. He is the lead anchor this week for the coverage at the John Deere Classic. We are very pleased to talk to Andrew when we return. This is The Scorecard, presented by Chicago District Golfer Magazine on 670 The Score.
Heard it from a friend who heard it from a friend who.
And we are back. On the Scorecard, presented by Chicago District Golfer Magazine. Barry Cronin, live on site at the John Deere Classic. Mike Esposito here at the Score Studios in Chicago. REO Speedwagon, we don't know where they're at, but they're somewhere. And they are Illinois Rockers, so we like to play them as we are playing the tournament, the PGA here in Illinois this week. And we are pleased to be joined now on the Circa Resort and Casino Hotline. Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book. The man calling the action for CBS this week at the John Deere Classic, Andrew Catalan, joins us. Andrew, good morning. Thank you.
Hey, guys. Good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Andrew. And I, you were serenaded by my cousin, Kevin Cronin, who is the lead singer there at REO Speedwagon.
Beautiful.
You know, it's always a good intro, and it's always nice to hear Kevin. I used to hear him when he was, you know, 12 years old playing at our little family events. So he's still at it. But anyway, great to talk to you, Andrew. Thank you so much for coming on. And just this immediate situation here. We've got a rain in the beautiful Quad Cities. And does that present any kind of unique challenges for the CBS crew and you and them, or other than just, you know, maybe delaying the broadcast, or what do you think?
Yeah, it could, Barry. I mean, really don't know at this point yet. We had a situation in May at the Byron Nelson down in Dallas where they went off early, you know, about 8, 9 a.m., We taped the whole show to air at 3 o'clock, and then 10 to 3, with two holes left, they blew the horn and took everybody off the course. So all that coverage that we had done all morning ended up kind of going to waste a little bit. And then we came on live and we waited through the delay, and then they came back out and finished. So you just never know in this situation, but hopefully, you know, watching the local television broadcast the last couple of days, hopefully it's just spotty showers and we get some windows and openings. And obviously, as you know, they're playing off both tees, which should, you know, condense the window needed to play the third round. So fingers are crossed, and hopefully we get lucky today and tomorrow.
Yeah, it looks like tomorrow's going to be tough too. But yeah, like you say, hopefully we get it in. Andrew, we've had this pandemic situation for the last year and a half, or however long it's been. Has your broadcast changed a lot? I mean, CBS does such a great job broadcasting golf. How have things changed at all for you guys?
Significantly, although it's slowly starting to get back to the way it was. But, you know, I call NFL for CBS, and, you know, every Sunday last fall, we had very strict protocols for traveling to games because we were at the games. Some of the producers were not, but all the announcers were. So we'd have to get in on Friday, get tested for COVID and pretty much just locked down in our room. So what I would say is that, and this is not a complaint by any means, but when you're on the road as much as some of us are, you know, your coworkers kind of become your second family. And in football specifically, you know, really couldn't go out to dinner with anyone or go get a cup of coffee with anyone. We were kind of locked down, understandably so, but it just really changes the dynamic of when you're away from your real family and you're sitting in a hotel room. Now, some of those things are starting to come back. Earlier this year for a golf tournament, I'd be sitting in a tower by myself, not with Nick Faldo or Ian Baker Finch. Now, we're together again, so those things are starting to change for the better. And it's nice to go out and get a meal with a coworker now instead of doing room service. So, you know, I think from that perspective, it's starting to come back to the way it was, which is a positive.
Andrew Catalan is our guest. You recognize his voice from CBS Sports. He calls lots of stuff, including this weekend's John Deere Classic. But I know in your repertoire of events, and you mentioned the NFL, but you've done college basketball, you've done Olympics, but golf has now come into more prominence. I know a few years back they announced that you'd be doing more of the golf. How did you, because not everybody could do golf and not everybody knows golf well enough to broadcast it. Was this something that you always were interested in as a kid growing up, that you play growing up? Where does golf fit into your life, and how did you get to become more of a golf broadcaster?
Yeah, it's a good question. I mean, I played growing up. I still play. I'm not very good, but I enjoy it. And
you fit right in on this show, Andrew.
Yeah, good. We need one more for a fourth. I think the challenge is that when I was in college, I knew I wanted to be a broadcaster, and I knew I could go to a high school football game or a high school basketball game, and I could sit in the stands with a tape recorder, because that's my age, and I could record a game and then get practice reps. But it's very hard to do that in golf. It's not like you can, I mean, you could do it off your TV is maybe the way, but it's very hard to find real reps, if you will, in this sport. And when I joined CBS in 2010, you know, they gave me a really big opportunity to work one of the digital feature group channels at the Masters, which was incredible. And it is so meaningful to me that they gave me that chance. And then as I did that every year, that was kind of my only cracks at the bat, if you will, with golf, because there's just really not that many reps. But I was able to find some more, including here at the John Deere a couple years ago for Golf Channel. They gave me a couple opportunities, and it's just something I really fell in love with doing and wanted to expand my role at CBS, and thankfully they saw it the same way. So it's just, it means so much that I get this chance to be here, and then a couple weeks we'll be in Minnesota for the 3M Open. So, you know, it's working out to about 5 to 6 events per year, which is really just perfect for me, and I'm really appreciative of it.
And you worked the Masters. I mean, you were on the regular broadcast, not just the digital thing. And how many years have you done that, and what do you do down there at the Masters?
So this was the first year I was on the main broadcast, if you will. But for the past 10 years, I did the digital channels, the feature groups, if you will, that are really popular, especially Masters Week and some of the other major weeks. So this year was the first time. I sat on the 14th hole, and I was responsible for calling the 7th and the 14th hole at the Masters, which was truly a dream come true. I mean, just, you know, working on a broadcast with, you know, Jim Nantz and Sir Nick Faldo, but Vern Lundquist, I mean, you know, just to sit in the green room and chat with him about, you know, the upcoming round or stories from his past. I mean, it's just fascinating. He's a wonderful person, as we all know. And that was a pinch myself moment, if you will.
You know, yeah, you, no, and go ahead, Mike.
I was just going to say, for many of us, Jim Nantz, I am not old enough to know another voice of golf, really. I mean, Jim Nantz, to me, when I hear Jim Nantz, I mean, he does great in the NFL. He does great with college buckets, but Jim Nantz is golf. If I'm watching golf on TV, it's Jim Nantz in my head, right? I mean, that's just how it is. It's got to be, he's got to have a wealth of golf stories to tell you.
Yeah, he's been fantastic in this whole process. And I agree, when you think of golf, you know, you certainly think of Jim. And, you know, he started working the Masters, I think, in his mid-20s, which is just remarkable crazy. When he started. So it's been an incredible run, and he is a great ambassador for all of us at CBS.
And you've had a change now with the coordinating producer for CBS. Seller Shai has taken over, and I know there have been some changes. I think you've got a leaderboard that's always on the screen. And what else? What other kind of things has he implemented?
Yeah, Sellers is a great golfer, so he would not fit in our group right now. So we need to find somebody else who's not as good as Sellers. I think he just changed, like, you know, some little things, like his fresh perspective. And I've had a chance to work with him on football and basketball in the past, so he's a really, really sharp guy. And, you know, little things like you mentioned, Barry, that the leaderboard's always on the screen. I think that's been very well received. Some of the music is a little different, you know, nothing major, because, as you know, Lance Barrow has been our leader on golf for so many years and did a wonderful job, and not much needs to be changed, but Sellers is just bringing a little bit of a fresh perspective. And I think that we're very lucky that we've had Lance for so long and now Sellers. It's been such a well-run ship, if you will. I mean, you know, football, you have different producers, different games, basketball the same way, but it's really the same crew for golf the whole year. So it's important that you have good leadership, and we certainly have had that over the years.
And we wouldn't be good broadcasters here. But you went to Syracuse University, which I think is the same university that our buddy Zach Zabin from The Score attended.
It is.
And I think there's so many people who have gone to Syracuse. So that's quite a place.
Zach's doing great. I see him from time to time if I'm calling a college basketball game with the Paul involved, and I'll see him there. And, I think that there are so many great colleges and programs around the country where you can become a broadcaster, but Syracuse certainly is right up there. And we have a very proud network of alums, and there's a lot of us out there. But, again, if anyone ever wanted to get in this business, it's not the only place you can go. I mean, there's a lot of opportunities out there now with college radio stations and television stations, so – yeah, I think it's a crazy business. It's a crazy life, as you guys know. It takes you from place to place, but it's a joy and a dream to be around sports for what you do. And I think we're very lucky in that regard.
Yep. Yeah, Zach is a proud alum. I know Danny Parkins from our afternoon show is a proud alum as well. Lots of good Jim Boeheim stories from the latter there. I'm sure, you may have some of those. I don't know, but you may have had some fun Jim Boeheim stories when you were there at school.
Absolutely, yep. And still going, too. Coach Boeheim still going. So we had a good little run in the tournament last year, and we'll see what happens this year.
Yeah, and before we let you go, Andrew, I will digress from golf for a second because I have to ask. So you do preseason football for the Bills, correct?
Correct.
So you will have the Mitch Trubisky experience this year that we in Chicago have had for many years. I have to ask, and especially because the Bills with Josh Allen, you guys are coming off of a great season. But how has Mitch fit in over there with the Bills? And, I mean, backup quarterback, not a ton of pressure, but – it's interesting, certainly for Bears fans who have lived and died with him for the last few years.
Yeah. So, last year there was no preseason, right? There was no games. And then I think I only had the Bills once or twice on CBS last year. And because of the pandemic, couldn't go to practice, weren't really around the facility. So I didn't get a great feel for Mitch last year, but this year, as you know, they actually play the Bears in Chicago in the second preseason game. So I'll be in Chicago for that.
Nice.
And that, you're right, should be interesting, because in the second preseason game, you would expect that he'll get a long, long run there. They're not going to go too long with Josh Allen. So that should be fun. I'm looking forward to that, to coming to Chicago in about
hysterical.
A month from now.
That's hysterical. Well, we maybe got to see. You got to see about Mitch's golf game too, and see if he. Maybe we'll have him on this show if he's any good.
There you go.
Or if he's bad, we'll have him on the show. I think.
Yeah, we need him to be bad.
He needs to be bad.
He's probably way better than us. That's for sure. But and a texter to our text zone here. says we should talk curling with you because of your Olympic experience. I wouldn't know the first question to ask you, but that's definitely something fun with the Olympic Games that you've gotten to do.
Well, whoever texted you has a good memory, because yeah, that was I did that twice for NBC at the Olympics, and it was a sport that I knew nothing about when they asked me to call it, and it turned out to be one of the most fun things I've ever done. And I haven't done it in a while. I've been off the ice for a while, but it was certainly a big highlight and memory in my career.
Well, Andrew, we really appreciate your time this morning. You've been very generous coming on with us. Best of luck this weekend. Certainly hope we get the rest of the John Deere Classic in, and we'll be listening on our TVs. And, again, thank you for joining us on the Scorecard this morning.
Anytime, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Thanks, Andrew. Appreciate it.
That is Andrew Catalan from CBS Sports. He is calling the John Deere Classic for CBS this weekend, and we will be watching. We'll be watching today. We'll watch tomorrow for the final round, and hope that the weather cooperates with you there, my friend.
Yeah, absolutely. And what a nice guy to come on and share a little insight. So thank you very much, Mike, for co-hosting. It's awesome. Always awesome being
of
with
course.
You. And we had a real nice show today. I really appreciate it.
Absolutely, Barry. Thanks to you, my friend. And thanks to our guests, Andrew Catalan, who we just talked to from CBS Sports, Craig DeVries, we had from Swing Thoughts, TJ Sullivan from Golf Tech in Oak Brook, Dan Hotchkin, the head pro at Palatine Hills Golf Course, joined us earlier in the show as well. Thanks to Adam Studzinski, our great producer, who does his job extremely well each and every week. Thanks to you for listening and texting us. We appreciate you listening to The Scorecard every Saturday morning from 6 to 8. Early Odds is next, Inside the Clubhouse after that. For Barry Cronin, I'm Mike Esposito. We will talk to you next Saturday morning. Stick around again for Early Odds right here on 670 The Score.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.